I'm Mary Walter with Vince Colonnese.
Good morning. Joining us now, Dr. Stephen Farnsworth. He's a professor of political science and international affairs at the University of Mary Washington in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And Stephen, you've been tracking the Virginia legislature as they gavel in today in the Commonwealth. Now Republicans with a narrow majority there. What do you expect is first up as they tackle all of Virginia's legislative concerns?
Well, this is going to be a much more interesting session than most years because you're looking at a very narrow margin. If the courts don't make some last-minute action, you're looking at a 50-49 majority for the moment for the Republicans, and that is likely to be 51-49 when the legal issues are resolved. And that's going to create an environment where the state is going to see a lot of controversy. It's not going to be clear what's going to get through. The first thing they have to deal with, of course, is the budget. You've got big issues like funding for Metro that's being discussed. Medicaid expansion. It's really going to be perhaps the most interesting legislative session in a decade, maybe more.
Yeah, and then you've got incoming Governor Ralph Northam. He's going to be inaugurated on Saturday. But this week, both he and Terry McAuliffe getting together in order to make the case that the first legislation that they want to see, as you mentioned, Medicaid expansion. Also, universal background checks for gun purchases, early voting, carbon reduction, a ban on the personal use of campaign funds, a borrower's bill of rights for student loans, a rollback of abortion restrictions, and criminal justice changes that would boost the felony theft threshold from $200 to $1,000. That's a laundry list of items. What is the thing that's going to get early attention? Is it Medicaid expansion?
Yeah, I think so, because in the previous legislative session, there were 66 Republicans, 34 Democrats. That created an environment where anything that the governor wanted wasn't going to get very far. McAuliffe was very frustrated over 4 years with the Medicaid expansion question. Now, with a two-seat majority for the Republicans in the House of Delegates, you could expect the Lieutenant Governor, Ralph Northam, when he becomes governor, to focus even more on Medicaid expansion. The Democratic theory here is that there will be a couple of Republicans who have really vulnerable public hospitals in their districts. A major economic employer in rural districts, of course, would be the local hospital. And so if you could find a couple of Republicans to side with the Democrats, you could imagine Medicaid expansion in some form getting through the legislature.
But how does the House of Delegates work exactly in terms of controlling the agenda? Because Republicans, as you noted, remain in control. They have all of the leadership positions, as far as we can tell. Today, they're expected to finally name officially and install Delegate Kirkland Cox as Speaker of the House of Delegates. Will that result in Republicans being able to stop a lot of Ralph Northam's agenda from appearing in their legislative calendar?
Well, one of the things to remember about Ralph Northam is that he campaigned as a more moderate Democrat, certainly more moderate than Tom Perriello, but also more moderate than Terry McAuliffe. And so you're looking at some appeal to Republicans. He was a pretty conservative Democrat for the legislature, and that creates the opportunity perhaps for him to be more persuasive at the margins with a lawmaker here and there. Now, the Republicans, as you say, do control the mechanics of the legislature, again, assuming no last-minute decisions about those two complicated House of Delegate recount businesses in the 94th and the 28th. The Republican majority, they elect the Speaker, they set up the committees, and they come up with a system that is going to look out for them. But it's important to remember that it is much harder to maintain a caucus of 51 Republicans than it was to maintain a caucus of 66. You can be very generous with individual Republicans wanting to go on a different path when you've got a huge majority. When you have a narrow majority, even one or two Republicans thinking a different strategy can create problems for the leadership. So the leadership will have to navigate those Republicans who are worried that they're going to be subject to the next voter wave.
Well, let me ask you about that. And appealing to Republicans being traditionally more fiscally conservative. Medicaid expansion, though, puts more and more, as time goes on, more and more responsibility on the states to support it. How do Republicans justify that?
Well, I think the key issue is going to depend on where you are in your individual district. I mean, the challenge that a lot of Republicans have to face in more rural parts of the state is the economic health of their communities. And so while there is some question, of course, about a lot of government programs that turn out to be a lot more expensive than promised on the front end. The reality is that if you're looking at a hospital that might close in your rural community, that's a major employer. That's a major source of community health. Any of those kinds of threats can convince a Republican who might be fiscally conservative in the abstract to sign up for something that is along the lines of Medicaid expansion in the interests of their own district. The one thing I would say, though, is I don't think we're going to get the full-throated Medicaid expansion along the lines that McAuliffe wanted. My guess is that Northam will end up compromising on something that moves in the direction of greater access to Medicaid, but won't go anywhere near as much as what McAuliffe wanted.
You know, a lot of people like living in Virginia because of its gun laws, but you have a situation now where Ralph Northam, who was supported by Mike Bloomberg, by the way, in his run for office, has already said out loud that he wants to move towards universal background checks. I presume that means adding background checks to private gun sales, and also to ban bump stocks if he gets the opportunity. What do you think the appetite for changing gun laws in Virginia is going to be?
I think that's going to be harder for the Democrats than making some progress or making some movement on Medicaid expansion. I think that you have a lot of Republicans who are pretty conservative on gun issues, and you have a lot of Democrats, too. If they represent swing districts, they might not be all that interested in creating a different kind of environment. There may be some movement on, say, the bump stock issue. That was something that a lot of independent analysts looking at the Las Vegas shooting thought would be a reasonable piece of legislation to pursue, but it doesn't seem to me that there's going to be any wholesale change to gun laws in Virginia. The Democrats are still not in the majority, and even if they were, you've still got a few conservative Democrats out there who have their doubts about going down the road of greater gun control.
And what about the budget? That's such a huge thing. It affects every single person living in Virginia. You've got a lot of pressure to support more payments to the subway system, plus, you know, Medicaid expansion. You've got a lot of things pulling at the budget. Where do you think that goes? Are they going to pull back on spending?
Well, I think that Virginia has one good thing going for it every election, every budget year, in that there is with its proximity to the federal government, the state is relatively close to recession-proof. But with the uncertainty about federal spending going forward, that may change. And that's why I think that the legislature has to be real careful when they start signing up for a lot of commitments that could create problems if, in fact, the sequester becomes more painful for Virginia and the like. Because right now, it's sort of like Christmas morning. Everybody wants all these gifts. You want more money for public education. You want more money for public transportation. You want more money for economic development initiatives. And the revenue growth does not match up with what you see as a pretty high level of demands for the budget. So it wouldn't surprise me if these wish lists of Christmas morning turn out to be pared down quite a bit before the end of the session.
All right, Dr. Stephen Farnsworth, professor of political science and international affairs at University of Mary Washington in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Really appreciate you joining us here again on Mornings in the Mall.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Nice to have you. And coming up, we're going to talk about Google.